I came this weekend feeling full and ready to pour out. I leave even more full. It's just been an amazing weekend for me. And I want to thank you for your hospitality, for making me feel so welcome, for honoring me. I can't say enough. This morning was the most powerful encounter I've had with the Lord in I don't know how many years. Like, I just needed it. Because most of the time I'm giving out. And so just to be filled with the presence of the Lord and with your love, I just can't say enough about it. And when the Lord gave me the title for today's, he doesn't always give me a title, but today he gave me a title and it was the first thing I got. And I'm like, that's not very nice. I don't want to talk about that. Because it's Palm Sunday. So we started with Hosanna. We sang Alleluia. We were just filled up, weren't we? But then we also remembered what's coming on Friday. And that was the word the Lord gave to me. It's Sunday, but Friday's coming. And then he said, but so is Easter. And so that's the place I'm sharing from this morning. And I'm just going to jump in and we'll see where the Lord takes it. So Palm Sunday, Jesus is entering Jerusalem. There's a party going on. There's joy, there's hope, there's expectations. It was prophesied about in Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. And at that time, did any of the disciples or the people in Jerusalem think of the prophecy coming on a donkey? Probably not. In fact, the Gospel of John tells us that they didn't realize it until much later. John 12:16 says, his disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy, but after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Well, there's a little story before the joyful parade. In Matthew 21, verse 1, it says, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them. And he will immediately let you take them. Following Jesus takes risks. The Lord needs them. I mean, that's crazy. Let's just repaint the picture. I happen to think, I would never be able to drive one, but I happen to think that the modern Corvette is like the most amazing looking car. So, Jeff, I'd like you to go across town and you'll find a Corvette with the key in it, and I want you to bring it to me. And if anyone says, what are you doing? You just say, the Lord needs them. It sounds ridiculous. But when we purpose to know Jesus, to seek to hear his direction and follow him, we can be challenged to do scary things. Scary things are different for each one of us. So the disciples obeyed Jesus and they went and got the colt. And, you know, at the age of 70, I can tell you a lifetime of stories where I've had to step out in faith. One of the first ones was moving here from Vancouver. Well, we moved to Stratford first, and Steve felt called to church plant in Ontario. I had no clue what that meant. I prayed and the Lord spoke to me and we came. It didn't really register that that meant pastoring a church. Like, that was, I didn't get it. He hides things from me for my own sake, just so that I don't panic and tell him all the reasons why I can't do it. Things happen that we can't plan for or even anticipate. So the disciples obeyed Jesus and brought the donkey. John 12:12 says, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him. They shouted, praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. And in the Gospels, this parade is referred to as the triumphal entry. It seems to be the ultimate of success and victory. Everyone's full of hope for what's going to happen. They don't know what it is, but they're expecting something because they'd heard the stories about Jesus. And I don't want to rain on that parade, but I have to be faithful to do what God asked me to do. Jesus went into that knowing his destiny, knowing what was coming on Friday. And I just really felt that so strongly, that we need to recognize that, just like the disciples, we can't lose hope when circumstances don't work out the way we're expecting, when things change. We can forget, and that word was there this morning, that Jesus invited us to suffer. That word was there this morning as we sang, even as he suffered. And when shaking happens, we can lose sight of him. We can cease to see him in every circumstance of our lives. Jesus knew what was coming after he entered Jerusalem, and he spent time that week pouring into his disciples. He taught them, he told stories, he spoke, as he often did, using parables, but sometimes he spoke in a very straightforward manner. And in Matthew 26, verse 1, it says, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. And they're like, what? No way. He must have made a mistake. It's beyond their comprehension. They couldn't conceive of it actually happening. And even though he had told the disciples what the cost of his journey was going to be, they didn't recognize it when it arrived. They didn't get it. They understandably got caught up in the joy and were picturing where it might lead, thinking finally people were going to see what they had seen as they followed Jesus. Maybe they even felt a little bit of pride that they were part of the elite group of Jesus' disciples. But when the shaking came, the disciples lost their way. Things were not unfolding as they expected. This can happen to each one of us. As disciples, we have faith, we're thankful, we're trusting God to hear him, to answer our prayers. But when tragedy strikes, or when answers to prayer either aren't forthcoming or aren't what we hoped for, we might forget his faithfulness and find ourselves floundering in confusion and disappointment. When this happened to the disciples, they literally abandoned the one they called King and Savior. Again, Jesus knew what was coming. On the night of the Last Supper, he knew that Judas had already betrayed him. He'd conspired against him. He told the disciples in Matthew 26, 31, tonight, all of you will desert me. Can you imagine following him for 3 years, being in the in crowd, and then him telling you you're going to desert him? It doesn't seem possible. And I'm sure their reaction was, never, no way, Lord, will I ever desert you. I'm sure that would have been my response as well. And yet, that is what happened. For Jesus, this triumphant entry was followed in that same week by being betrayed, being abandoned, being whipped, being mocked, being crucified, being killed, and buried. But Jesus didn't turn away from what was coming. He came as a king of peace and redemption, not a king of conquest, to offer salvation and forgiveness through his sacrifice, not force. His is an upside-down kingdom. His is a humility that is the opposite of the worldly perception of being in power, too often through corruption and abuse and lies and deception and violence. Paul in Philippians 3:10 boldly prayed, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. How many of us would pray that prayer? Maybe the first part about the resurrection, But participating in his sufferings, no, thank you. It seems like a foolish prayer. So my question to us this morning is, are we willing to suffer with Jesus? In the midst of this week, as things don't go the way that you expected, just like the disciples, we might lose our way. In your life, when your prayers haven't been answered in the timing or way you thought they should have been, how do you respond? Do you operate out of faith or out of fear? Faith says, I don't understand, but God, I know you were always good, and I will continue to trust you. Fear plants lies. Ever since the garden, are God's promises true? Did God really say? Does God even care? I guess God doesn't really love me or want the best for me. This isn't going the way I expected, so I guess I can't trust him and I'll have to fix this on my own. This morning during worship, the Lord was just washing over and over and over me. And I remember what it felt like when we left BC to come to Ontario. I was born in Toronto, so I knew what I was coming to. Steve says, Christina doesn't like snow and she doesn't like humidity. She'll be happy 3 months out of the year. And I got really lost. I was depressed. Later figured out that moving was actually a trigger for that. And so God taught me how to cope with change because I thought I didn't like it. And he said, I'm really into it. So there's been a lot of change in our lives. But coming here and beginning the Cambridge Vineyard with Sylvia and Bob and a whole team of people, we had a vision, we had a dream. And you might not know the starting of the Free Store downstairs. So we went to visit the vineyard in Cincinnati. We wanted to learn how to give things to the poor. Turned out it wasn't very complicated. We just thought there was some magic formula to it. And so then we bought some groceries and we put them in the middle of the floor and we prayed over them. And we hadn't met on a Sunday morning yet. Steve was very insistent, we start with this. So we pray over the groceries. And then we pray some more. And then we pray some more. And then finally it's like, okay, we have to go. And we were really nervous. Like, we didn't know what was going to happen when we knocked on people's doors. And that was the beginning of ministering into the community of Cambridge. And it just grew and grew. And some of these guys, you know, George and Christine and Chris and Rob, like, they were teenagers back then. But I'm just astounded at how many are still here. And I tell you, in a moment, this would be where I would be if I lived in Cambridge. In a moment, just to come on Sundays, just to help out downstairs or be with the preschool kids. So staying true to Jesus takes courage. I've needed a lot over the years. Courage is something we can choose. A lot of people don't realize that. They think they either have it or they don't. So Matthew and Mark tell us that when the disciples were in the midst of a terrible storm, their faith was shaken. There was a previous storm. Remember, Jesus was asleep in the boat. And the disciples wake him up, and they say the most ridiculous thing. But we can do that when we're scared. Don't you even care that we're going to drown? Right? We think about ourselves when crisis hits. And so Jesus had calmed that storm, and now they're in the middle of another storm. And we'd like to learn that because Jesus has calmed previous storms in our lives, we'd be okay. But the next time one comes along, we can easily forget. So the disciples are crying out for rescue in their fear, and Jesus came walking on the water. This time he wasn't in the boat with them. He came walking on the water. So they're crying out to be saved, to be rescued. Here comes the answer to their prayer. And they don't recognize him. They think he's a ghost. We can all have moments like this. Even when we're in a terrifying storm, will we trust Jesus because we've seen his faithfulness previously? Or will we panic as the disciples did? Even in the midst of fear and panic, Jesus speaks to us. In Matthew 14, 27, Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. If we choose to listen and to trust, this is the voice we should hear when disappointment or panic are trying to take hold of us. This is what he offers us in every moment. Take courage. He's offering it. He's not going to force it on you. You have a choice to make. Take courage. And then he says, it is I. He assures us he is always with us, no matter what is going on in our lives or how things look. He will never leave us. Sometimes we lose sight of him, right? In our fear, in our tears, under attack, something unsafe is happening. Take courage. When we don't take courage, we enter into doubt and fear. Then he says, it is I. So he's always with us. And then he says, don't be afraid. Why does he tell us that? Because he knows we are. I don't know how many times that's in the scriptures, but it's there repeatedly. As we repeatedly choose to turn to Jesus and to find him in our doubts and sufferings, we are building our faith and our history with God. Even though the disciples had spent 3 years following Jesus, learning from him, watching, then releasing miracles, when the shaking happened after Palm Sunday, they lost their way. They did what was unimaginable the week before. They denied Jesus and abandoned him. And Jesus, if he had even told them, that's what was going to happen. So it brings us back to today and Jesus' triumphal entry. The challenge to us is to learn from the disciples' lack of faith. If they had listened and held on to Jesus' teaching, perhaps they would have recognized that Jesus' seeming defeat on the cross was but a chapter in their story, and that Resurrection Day was coming. And we have the advantage of knowing the story that he was going to rise 3 days later. But we shouldn't think that we won't make some of the same mistakes as the disciples. When sudden tragedy comes, or our prayers aren't answered, or the timing doesn't seem right, we can forget. We can forget all that Jesus has done for us. We can forget that even though, like them, we've had triumphant entries, Good Friday still followed. We can forget Jesus' promises to us. In John 6:47, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I offer so that the world may live, is my flesh. We know the miracles that the disciples participated in. We know about feeding the 4,000, first the 5,000, then the 4,000. And after feeding, Jesus and the disciples got into a boat. And we'll pick up the story in Mark 8:14. But the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. They had only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. As they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, "Watch out! Beware the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." And they're like, "What? What are you talking about?" And Jesus often did that. He said things and then he just left them hanging. So at this, the disciples began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Okay, you've just seen loaves and fishes multiplied. Now you're on a boat, you've got one loaf, and you're upset because you don't have bread. We all think we would be better than that, but not so much. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "Why are you arguing about having no bread?" And he's a straight talker. That's how he talks to me. Like, seriously, I hear these things. So he says, "Don't you know or even understand yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all?" And that that idea of remembering what God's done was in our worship this morning. Jesus went on to say, when I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward? 12, they said. And when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 7, they said. So they remember the numbers, right? So obviously they're remembering, yeah, we did that. Yeah, there was extra. And Jesus, don't you understand yet? He asked them. They didn't. They understood there had been this miracle and there had been multiplication and people got fed and it was the most astounding thing. But they forgot the point. They thought about what was left over. Our faith will be tested. A test is an opportunity to discover what we really believe and understand. So I go to Haiti to scout, to bring a team. And then I'm going to Uganda after that. I'm going back home and then I'm going to Uganda. I'm going to meet Steve there. He's already in Africa. He's in Kenya doing ministry. He gets a text from me that says, earthquake. I'm okay. So I'm in the pastor's house, sitting on my bed. It's 10 to 5 in the afternoon. I'm actually in the middle of writing an email to the host in Uganda. And everything starts shaking. And everything is falling, and the wall in front of me is ripping. And so what did I do? I put a pillow over my head while I'm sitting on the bed, as if that was going to do anything. It lasted, you know, it felt like a really long time, and my whole room collapsed down, and the roof over me didn't totally split, but it slid. And the first thing that I hear after the roaring stopped was the young man that I had gone to Haiti with. He had asked us to come and do a JOC's from New Jersey, and we had discipled him, and he had been there, and he wanted us to come. And so Steve said, Mom can come because she has this week free. I'm going ahead of her to Africa, but you have to take care of her because I know Haiti is not particularly safe. So now here's poor Adam, and our whole world has collapsed, but I hear his voice. And so I know he's alive, and I'm alive. And so we actually got out through all the walls of the house blew off, except the room I was in. And we went out through one of those spaces, and there was a tree. And the whole house had slid 2 ways out toward the perimeter wall. And so we were able to, the tree had branches going out to it, so we were able to get out on the branch and go down the tree. Maybe the only time in my life I ever climbed down a tree, but... And the only mark I had on my body was 2 handprints on either arm where the guys had held onto me so that I wouldn't fall. And there I was for the next 2 nights. And it's a whole long story. I think I wrote about it in Steve's book, The Journey, that tells stories of different things we've done. So anyway, we did get out. For years, I asked the Lord, why was I there? And I didn't hear an answer for a long time. And one day when I was ministering, and I don't know that I was telling the story about Jesus walking on the water, but I was teaching something about fear, I guess. And I just heard the Lord say, I've given you the keys to fear. And this was the second time I felt him clearly tell me he'd given me a key. Another time was I felt he said he gave me the keys to justice. And so I took him seriously because I knew it was a God moment. Today during worship, I saw the ground cracking open like a big fissure. And then you shared about the dead walking through the dry ground. But in this case, it was not walking through dry ground what I saw God doing here. And I know nothing about construction. You have an engineer, you can ask him. I saw a bridge instantly formed. So to walk through on dry ground is a miracle because you've got to hold the water back. But in this case, what I saw God doing with all of you was this bridge just landing and going across this fissure in the earth. And I do believe it's something new. I don't know what it is, but there's a new way opening up for the Cambridge Vineyard. And you're going to need courage. So go to God and get it. So Let us remember this week that in the joy of answered prayers and miraculous provision, there can be suffering. I did not expect to almost die in an earthquake when I went to Haiti. I was just doing my job, just following the Lord. But another part of the story is that the next day, and we kept getting aftershocks, and they were in some ways even more scary than the earthquake itself. The next day, I heard the Lord say to me, "You weren't afraid." And I thought about it, and I thought, no, actually, the thought that went through my mind at that moment was, Jesus will keep me safe now. Well, you don't get there without having previous experiences. I didn't just somehow reach down and find courage. I'd had to have courage in different situations. And so I want to encourage you to build a history with God that when the earthquake comes, when the car accident happens, when the cancer diagnosis comes, whenever, maybe there's financial trouble, don't panic like the disciples, but say, oh, Jesus is coming to me on the water. He's going to keep me safe now. All right? So let's remember this week that in the joy of answered prayers and miraculous provision, there can still be suffering. Will we keep our faith in Jesus? Will we remember his faithfulness? Will we remember that the miraculous resurrection is where we can focus? I'm just going to finish by praying a little bit of Psalm 103 over you. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So I put that in there before I came here this morning, and then people were coming to me with words, and it was about new things. And I'm trying to retire this year, not because I want to stop what I'm doing, but because I feel like I'm training someone else who can come along and take it the next leg of the journey. And so my title at Impact Nations, it used to be Journey of Compassion Director, so I scouted and led the trips. Now it's, since COVID really, it's Director of Women's Development. And so we do a lot of rescuing girls off the streets who are pregnant, who have been abandoned or abused. We do shelters, we do medical care, we do a lot of school training programs, and I feel like it happens in spite of me. It just happens. I just take care of people who are doing these things. But then this morning there's these words about new things coming for me and God's got, and I'm like, oh dear. Okay, Lord. But I do have to say, I feel like he gives me supernatural strength and grace for, you know, sitting in a metal tube for 17 hours from Delhi to wherever, you know. And so I want to pray over you and just bless you to be prepared for new things. And if you need to ask for courage this morning, I want you to come for ministry. If you need some healing and you're so weary of that prayer not being answered, I want you to come again for ministry. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop asking him for what you desire. I could tell you story after story of how God has healed people that have been waiting a long time. And I don't understand it. I can't give you an explanation as to the why and the timing and all of that. I just know we have to keep asking because he's good. So don't get discouraged if you're waiting. So Lord Jesus, I thank you for the Cambridge Vineyard. I thank you, Lord, for your grace on this place. I thank you for the fact that the city and the government know that this is a place of safety, a place of welcoming, a place of ministry. And Father, I bless each and every one here. Lord, I bless them to volunteer to help with the vision. I bless them to contribute finances or gifts or whatever they have, Lord. However small it might seem in their hand, Lord, when they're faithful to give it away, you multiply it. I bless the leadership here to be healed and whole and lead strong. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being here this morning and for the beauty of what you have done in the last almost 40 years. It's such a joy. Lord, thank you that you gave us the name Impact Nations because we impacted our community first, and then you said, take it to the nations. And so I thank you for what you've done with Impact Nations over the last 20 plus years. And Lord, we say yes to you. We say yes to what you're asking us to do. We say yes to taking courage. We say yes to believing that you are always with us. We say yes to knowing we don't have to be afraid and that these are things we can give away to the people around us. So I speak blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.